Life Sketches, Chapter 18, Beginning to Publish. At a meeting held in Dorchester, Massachusetts, November, 1848, I had been given a view of the proclamation of the sealing message, and of the duty of the brethren to publish the light that was shining upon our pathway. After coming out of vision, I said to my husband, "I have a message for you. You must begin to print a little paper and send it out to the people. Let it be small at first. But as the people read, they will send you means with which to print, and it will be a success from the first." From this small beginning it was shown to me to be like streams of light that went clear round the world. While we were in Connecticut in the summer of 1849, my husband was deeply impressed that the time had come for him to write and publish the present truth. He was greatly encouraged and blessed as he decided to do this. But again he would be in doubt and perplexity, as he was penniless. There were those who had means, but they chose to keep it. He at length gave up in discouragement, and decided to look for a field of grass to mow. As he left the house, a burden was rolled upon me, and I fainted. Prayer was offered for me, and I was blessed, and taken off in vision. I saw that the Lord had blessed and strengthened my husband to labor in the field 1 year before, that he had made a right disposition of the means he there earned, and that he would have a hundredfold in this life, and if faithful, a rich reward in the kingdom of God, but that the Lord would not now give him strength to labor in the field, for he had another work for him to do, and that if he ventured into the field, he would be cut down by sickness, but that he must write, 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 and walk out by faith. He immediately began to write, and when he came to some difficult passage, we would unite in prayer to God for an understanding of the true meaning of his word. The present truth. One day in July, my husband brought home from Middletown 1,000 copies of the first number of his paper. Several times, while the matter was being set, he had walked to Middletown, 8 miles, and back. But this day he had borrowed Brother Belden's horse and buggy with which to bring home the papers. The precious printed sheets were brought into the house and laid upon the floor, and then a little group of interested ones were gathered in, and we knelt around the papers, and with humble hearts and many tears besought the Lord to let his blessing rest upon these printed messengers of truth. When we had folded the papers, and my husband had wrapped and addressed copies to all those who he thought would read them, he put them into a carpet bag, and carried them on foot to the Middletown post office. During July, August, and September, 4 numbers of the paper were printed at Middletown. Each number contained 8 pages. The size of the pages was about 6 by 9 1/2 inches. Always before the papers were mailed, they were spread before the Lord, and earnest prayers, mingled with tears, were offered to God that his blessing would attend the silent messengers. Soon after the sending out of the first number, we received letters bringing means with which to continue publishing the paper, and also the good news of many souls embracing the truth. With the beginning of this work of publishing, we did not cease our labors in preaching the truth, but traveled from place to place, proclaiming the doctrines which had brought so great light and joy to us, encouraging the believers, correcting errors, and setting things in order in the church. In order to carry forward the publishing enterprise, and at the same time continue our labors in different parts of the field, the paper was from time to time moved to different places. Visit to Maine. July 28, 1849, my second child, James Edson White, was born. When he was 6 weeks old, we went to Maine. September 14th, we attended a meeting at Paris. Brethren Bates, Chamberlain, and Ralph were present, also brethren and sisters from Topsham. The power of God descended something as it did on the day of Pentecost, and 5 or 6 who had been deceived and led into error and fanaticism fell prostrate to the floor. Parents confessed to their children, and children to their parents, and to one another. Brother J. N. Andrews with deep feeling exclaimed, "I would exchange 1,000 errors for 1 truth." Such a scene of confession and pleading with God for forgiveness we have seldom witnessed. That meeting, the beginning of better days for the children of God in Paris, was to them a green spot in the desert. The Lord was bringing out Brother Andrews to fit him for future usefulness, and was giving him an experience that would be of great value to him in his future labors. Advancing by faith. At a meeting held at Topsham, some of the brethren present expressed their desire to have us visit New York State again, but feeble health weighed down my spirits. I told them that I dared not venture, unless the Lord should strengthen me for the task. They prayed for me, and the clouds were scattered, yet I did not obtain that strength I so much desired. I resolve to walk out by faith, and go, clinging to the promise. My grace is sufficient for you. On the journey to New York, our faith was tried, but we obtained the victory. My strength increased, and I could rejoice in God. Many had embraced the truth since our first visit, but there was much to be done for them, and all our strength was needed in the work as it opened up before us. Residence in Oswego. During the months of October and November, while we were traveling, the paper had been suspended, but my husband still felt a burden upon him to write and publish. We rented a house in Oswego, borrowed furniture from our brethren, and began housekeeping. There my husband wrote, published, and preached. Numbers 5 and 6 of Present Truth were issued from Oswego, and why? In December 1849, Numbers 7 to 10, from the same place, in March to May 1850. Some tracts also were issued during that time. It was necessary for him to keep the armor on every moment, for he often had to contend with professed Adventists who were advocating error. Some set a definite time for the coming of Christ. We took the position that the time they set would pass by. Then they sought to prejudice all against us and what we taught. I was shown that those who were honestly deceived would some day see the deception into which they had fallen, and would be led to search for truth.